Blog Talk Radio.
Baby, I know you think that it's the other way around. You're like, yo, you must not know what you're talking about, son. But I think I do. I think I do. I do. I do. I do. So let's get it popping. What we are talking about tonight is misery loves seclusion. Now, if you really think about it, think about the most miserable people that you know. Do they always have a bunch of friends? Okay. I can see how you would say that, well, when they say that misery loves company, they mean that they like to make other people miserable. Well, you have to be in contact or at least around other people in order to make them miserable, unless you make them miserable over the internet, in which you still are making contact with other people. But when I say that misery loves seclusion is that some people, when they really get into that dark space in their lives, when they really are going through that depressive state, when they're really going through that time in their lives where they don't know what to do, they don't like who they are, They don't like where they're going. And when it's really, really, really mentally and emotionally hard for them, a lot of times they like to be by themselves. That way, they can try to work out some of the kinks. Because there are some people who are crazy as shit, and they know that they're crazy as shit. And even if they don't think that they're crazy, like mental, they may know that they are a little bit quirky beyond that is, which is normal or that of which is acceptable. We may want to exchange or replace the word normal with acceptable, because acceptable we know about. Normal, we be having all kinds of terms like the new normal and what is normal and ain't normal. 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 You know, don't worry about it. What's up, Cherry? Cherry. It's Cinderella Dana Jane. It's Cinderella Dana Jane. Well, it's the woman Dana Jane with fame. It's Cinderella Dana Jane. Well, it's the woman Dana Jane with fame. What's going on? My brother Ansel Jones is all up in the house. What's going on with my brother Ansel Jones? And my brother from another mother, Norris Hill. And I said, my brother from another mother, Norris Hill. What's going on, my brother? Glad to see you on out. Glad to see you coming through. Participate, no doubt. Robbie Robin, make my big sister do a thing. She likes to swing. I ain't talking about with another partner. King, queen, we do the thing on the scene. We make sure we get it popping. Nah, man. So, misery loves seclusion. Misery loves seclusion. Before we get into anybody else, hold on. Before we get into anybody else, think about yourself and the times in your life when you haven't really been in a good space, and the times in your life where things have been a little. Have you wanted to be around a bunch of people, or have you wanted to be like, yo, you know what? Listen, I got some things I got to deal with. You may not have even made that announcement. You may have just done it. Like, listen. They're going to be a few days, they're going to be a few, and there may be a few weeks or months when you're not going to really be able to get in touch with me. And the reason that you're not going to be able to get in touch with me is because I'm a miserable person right now. And I know that if I talk to anybody, if I keep in contact with anybody, if I show you that I have cut you off for some shit that you don't even realize that you did, or some shit that shouldn't even matter, but I know you're going to get on me about cutting you off about this shit, I'm going to just make myself unavailable. You know how it is. Probably each and every one of y'all have dealt with a crazy motherfucker that done cut you off for no goddamn reason. Well, you know why? Do you know what happened? They was miserable. They was miserable. It may be a reason that you can connect, but you like, I know damn well such and such ain't stopped fucking with me, or they ain't still holding a grudge over that dumb shit. It could have been something really, really small. And the thing is, with a miserable person, small things blow up beyond belief. You borrowed their car. You borrowed their car. And you didn't bring back the car on a full tank of gas. But the thing is, they didn't have a full tank of gas when you borrowed it. But you did bring it back on 3/4 of gas. But that wasn't good enough for them. So not only did you borrow their car, you may have even paid them to borrow the car and you put extra gas in the car, but that wasn't good enough for them. But did they ever tell you that that wasn't good enough for them? No. What they did was they stopped fucking with you, stopped speaking to you. But they ain't tell you that they stopped speaking to you. You had to figure it out on your own because you know how this crazy motherfucker or this crazy ass John be thinking. So you're like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with this John? You know how crazy they are, but you also know how miserable they are. You've seen them do this to other people, and you've seen them do it to you. And now they're doing it to you again. Yeah, again. This ain't the first time. This ain't your first time at the rodeo. This is not your first pit stop. Yeah, we're going to have to put this tire on again. These racist slicks are on this bullshit again, 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 again. Misery loves seclusion. We all may have a friend that's so off the chain, wild and ridiculous, that when they stop speaking to you, they ain't even going to tell you that they stopped speaking to you. They're just going to stop speaking to you. And when they start speaking to you again, they won't even admit that they stopped stop speaking to you in the first motherfucking place. This shit is L, son. It's real L. It's L. You know what I'm saying? It's not a good look. But these kind of things happen. And these are the things that separate people from their people. Because don't nobody really want to be around that. And they know that. And to be honest with you, some of them feel guilt. Some of them feel guilty. And they don't want to be around nobody else either. So they like, listen, I gotta work. I'm going to try to work through this bullshit. This bullshit that I'm on, I'm going to try to work through it. Hopefully y'all take this walk with me. But, yeah, I know I ain't right. I know I ain't right, but fuck it. I'm still doing this. Misery loves seclusion. They be by themselves. And if you ask them, you know, what happened to that person you used to hang around all the time? What happened to your friend we used to see you with all the time? And they'll be like, they all right. Or, well, you know, something happened, but I don't want to get into it. Ain't nothing really happened. Not on their part. It's really all you. Now, of course, I'm sure we're thinking that yeah, but that's going to, they're making you miserable, son. It's a cliche. It's a cliche. Misery loves company. So by them isolating themselves, by them being mad at you without telling you that they're mad at you, you know what I mean? And have you chasing after them and looking after them and worried about them and all twisted and turned. They are making you miserable. Misery loves company. It loves seclusion too. I'm talking about the physical part of actually being around people, infecting everybody around them like a cancer. See, a lot of miserable people don't want to do that shit because they know everybody can't be wrong about them. So they normally seek out individual relationships in which they can create the narrative. They normally seek out individual relationships that they can ruin one at a time, and they can create the narrative. Well, I don't fuck with him. Well, I don't fuck with her. And here is the reason why. But they don't even know that I ain't fucking with them. But I'm about to tell you something fly. It's not a good look. I know that I'm shook and shaking, and I shouldn't be doing this shit. And I'll awaken one day, but right now I'm sleeping on this. And niggas can't fry me like this. That's the word. Misery loves seclusion. Misery loves isolation. Miserable people be by themselves all the time. Sometimes they be in their own world. What's up, Stacey Yvette White? How you feeling, man? Good to see you. Thanks for coming through. Carol Chamberlain says, sometimes when you are going through something, seclusion is best for you. Yeah, for some people, that's really the best way because they become like a cancer. They you know, imagine having in sports, who can I think about? I ain't going to go there. All right, I'm going to just say it like this. Imagine having a cancer in your circle. You know, somebody that just fucks it up for everybody. The crab in the barrel. The bad apple in the bunch. The one that just fucks up everybody. And it almost seems like they can't help it. But guess what? They can. Because they really, deep down inside, they know they ain't right. But in their misery, they don't even admit that they're wrong or give an apology. They try to manipulate a way for y'all to just get cool again, as if they've forgiven you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Manipulation. People who are manipulative are often very miserable. Very miserable. So, you know, you ain't going to find too many people that are going to co-sign this bullshit. So sometimes you just have to be by themselves. You just have to be by yourself, I should say. And check it out, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, Like, it's hard being in a situation where you know nobody don't like your ass anyway. It's a miserable position, you know, and a lot of people find themselves in this position, and they're very miserable. And you would think that they love seclusion because they put themselves in a position where they don't have too many choices. They don't have too many choices because they have basically fucked their way friendless. They have isolated themselves, person after person after person. You know, with that little quirky, I don't even want to say quirky, because quirky shit ain't bad. You know what I'm saying? Quirky shit ain't bad. You know, everybody has their little quirky shit. I'm talking about the shit that really gets under your skin. The shit that you normally have to make an explanation for. The things that have people wondering if they need to fuck with you anymore. Or if you need to seek therapy, that kind of shit, you know? You understand? Emily Dunlap said several people stopped talking and speaking to me over the months and years. When they realize that I completely cut them off and move on, I'm good. Very interesting, Emily. I'm wondering which one of y'all is the miserable one. If they cut you off. Or did you say, wait a minute, let me make sure I read that right. You said they stopped speaking to you. And when they realize that, I completely cut them off and move on. Okay. That's a different spin. Robbie Ming says, I'm a person that secludes myself when I'm going through my own problems or family issues. I need time to myself sometimes. I understand. And so Joan says, I had a couple of people ask me why I hang out with so many people. Robbie says, and I don't like to get other people involved in my problems. As far as being miserable, I don't want no one else to be miserable because I am. Okay. Cherry says, I'll do it. I alienate people. Sometimes when I'm ready to bring them back into the fold, when I feel better, some people don't always come back. I'm sorry, not sorry. Interesting. T. Carrie Wright says, these people will invite themselves back into your space by saying things like, where you been, stranger? When they know damn well that they didn't make themselves open and available. My brother from another mother, Norris Hill, says, a few years ago, someone had the nerve to send a friend request after accusing me of stealing money from her. Imagine that. This friend request shit, son. Yo. Let me tell you something. I've gotten a little bit better over the years. It used to be that if I delete you from my friends list, you'll never get back on. It was as bad as blocking you. But mentally, I couldn't justify blocking a person because I don't care if I see you online. I just don't want to see you on my page. I don't want you commenting on my shit. I don't want you seeing certain things that I post and things like that. But if I block you, you're never coming back. I've never re-added a person that I blocked. My block list is that's the final draft. You know, some people play around online, you know, like, you know, people think it's a game. Well, it is a game to some people. You know, I've seen couples do it. Like, yeah, I blocked the motherfucker and shit, and then I sent him another friend request. We back good, you know, whatever. But he make me mad. I block his ass again. He be all mad, calling me, coming over. Like, that's, all right, okay. Some people think that's cute and... I might be a little bit too adult for that. Of course, y'all know I do some childlike shit, some kid shit, some juvenile shit sometimes, you know what I'm saying? But I don't really play when it comes to friendship. Not that way. I play with y'all, but surely, sure, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. Shirley Sherrill, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. What's good? How you feeling, ma? So, yeah. So, misery loves seclusion. Now, there are different brands, different types, different levels of misery. Like what Robbie Robb is talking about, I can kind of understand it. Like when you talk about, listen, when I'm in my shit, when I'm in a funk, when I need to work through some shit, I need to be offline for a little while. I don't need to be coming around people because I might snap on a motherfucker that didn't deserve it. And it just has more to do with how I was feeling at the time. So I know when it's time for me to go balance the scales on some Libra shit and get things right, go to the lab and, you know, get this elixir, you know, popping so I can start treating my ailments. I need to be by myself for a little while. And if it works, if that's your technique and it works, bet. But also, a lot of times, miserable people put themselves in positions where they cannot call on people, when they will make people not be concerned with them because they have become toxic towards those people. See, when you talk about miserable and when you talk about misery, sometimes it's self-induced and sometimes it's brought on by abuse. Abuse in the way of people taking advantage of you, unfair advantage of you. You know what I'm saying? Narsil says, a lot of friends became acquaintances. So they don't see what I was sharing. Anthony Jones says, Mutombo of social media is crazy. I don't need you to wag your finger. You block. Interesting. You fuck yourself friendless again. Some people just can't help it. There's some people who require so much of you that you could never fulfill those requirements because it's not your obligation. You know, friends that ask for too much from you. Not even just money and all of that, but they want to use up all your time. And some people like that just drain you emotionally. And we've talked about what it's like to be drained emotionally before. You know, remember, I think it was last week, we talked about being emotionally insatiable. I mean, they just wrench all of it out of you. They just wrench all of it out of you, Zay. Hey, yo, Zay, yo, hey, yo, yo, hey, yo. So, when it happens that way, they put themselves in a space where they don't have another one to just run to, go to, hang on to for a little while until the other one comes back or until they can manipulate or get a way to get them back. Some people just don't know how to be friendly. Some people just don't know how to be cordial. Some people just don't know how to consistently be a good friend. They just don't know how. They just don't know how. Is it because they haven't learned? Or is it because they haven't listened? Whichever the case it is, it's not a good look. And it's not a good position to be in. And many people find themselves right there in that position. Emily says, when I realized it, and no, I am not the miserable one. Okay, I hear you. But that says that I am not ye miserable one. That probably is supposed to say, but it says Y-H-E. Don't think that just because you slid on over to Instagram, you know what I mean, you get to escape the punctuation path. And nah, you ain't getting away.
I'm gonna let everybody over here on YouTube know what you're doing. I see you. Yeah. Co-host. I'm gonna learn how to write that shit right. Ain't you in school? Mona Garris. Mo. She says, if I'm feeling some type of way, I call my mom. LOL. Social media judge. Most times my mom makes me realize things in a different way. Different perspective. It helps. It helps. But that's a good way. That's a good way and at least you have, well, let me finish the thought. That's a good way to escape misery. And it's good to have a resource that can give you a different perspective so you don't get bogged down in the thinking that your way is the only way to think. And you know how it is. To be honest with you, your feelings are able to lie to you. And feelings lie to us all the time. Our feelings lie to us. They tell us that some people don't care for us that do care for us. They tell us that some people do care for us that don't. They tell us to stop trying when we really need to press on and keep going. They tell us to keep going when we really need to cut our losses and bolt on up out of there. But feelings are rev, son. They rev. But when those feelings go unchecked, when you don't have that different perspective there, when you don't have that voice of reason that comes around and regulates all of the crazy shit, it's tough. It's tough. Let me see what we got. T. Carey Wright says, the type of behavior creates an inconsistency that I cannot and am not willing to ride that out. I can't trust you. Well, did you know that cannot is one word? I mean, I guess. No. Cannot is one word. See, if you write can and not, it's sort of, you kind of, that type of behavior creates and that's supposed to be an inconsistency. I think. Okay. Sherry says, I think my friends are time tested. Check this out though, Cherry. Your enemies can be time tested too. Just saying. Tony Stark, fresh out of Facebook jail. Fresh out of jail, out on bail, California, dreaming. What's up, man? Good to see you, my brother. Cal says, Omar Lee, Taki alone. Don't you ever take a day off punctuation past that. Why? At least I spread the ball around. You know what I mean? This is how I spread the ball around. It's all good. I mean, it's all good. It's all luck. I mean, hey, thank God. So, misery loves seclusion. You know? Motherfuckers. Listen, there are levels to this thing. There are levels to misery. There are levels to misery, and you don't want to get to the top level. Or is the top level good and the lowest level bad? I don't know. Mona Garrett says, okay, grammar police. No, that's punctuation panther. Thank you. You know, you have grammar Nazis, punctuation panther. This is a period. or an exclamation point in Spanish. You know, they got the... All right. Narcel says, yes, Cherry, I can safely say that my best friend is a 90-plus-year-old man that has known me for 27 years. I'm glad he didn't give up on me when I was making mistakes. Making mistakes. Do your mistakes make you miserable? Do you think that making multiple mistakes or costly mistakes can push you into misery? Mistakes are tougher when there are people around to witness them, you know? Make sure y'all hit that like button, man. Make sure y'all hit the like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if y'all haven't subscribed to the channel yet. I mean, do me that solid. You know, I'm trying to move towards an incentive here. You know what I'm saying? Good looking out. Hit the like button. Share the show. Subscribe to the channel. That's what's up. Come over here in this chat room. Get your comment on. And if you'd like to call into the show, you can call into the show. Totally uncensored. You say it how you mean it. You know what I'm saying? You can express it how you feel it. Express your passion in any form or fashion. You can do it for a short time, a long lasting. And the number is 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. I said 319-527-6199. Yes, y'all. I said 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine, baby, on. 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 Get your shine, baby, 319-527-6199, baby. So Daily Go Get a Business Show all up in your area tonight on this pretty petty Tuesday, the 12th of January. We are talking about misery loves seclusion. What you know? What you know? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay. Marcelo says, or should I call them life lessons? Tony Stark says, I'm drinking black seed powder and tea. That'll get you far. Cal Chamberlain said, and Norris, they are all life lessons when you learn from them and you know what not to do. Yeah, man, you know, life lessons. But when we start talking about being in misery, or when you talk about being miserable, you're not often talking about people who understand the lessons that they need to be learning. Because when you really think about it, if you're actively learning what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing, and you are actually progressing, you're not going to fall into a miserable state because you're figuring the game out. And nothing is more enlightening, nothing is more encouraging than figuring something out, learning how to play a game. Just think about it. Take it all the way back in the day for those of y'all who are old enough to remember this shit. Remember when Pac-Man first came out? You might not have been good at Pac-Man. It was just one handle, no extra button. It wasn't like Space Invaders where you had to, you know, be getting out of the way and killing them off. No. Straight, wow. All you had to do was clear the board of all of those little white dots and prevent yourself from running into one of those four monsters. It was Speedy, Pinky, the green one and the like orange one. Or was he tan? Whatever. That's all you had to do. Some people got so good at Pac-Man that they developed a pattern. They figured the game out. They figured out the computer part of it. They knew how to beat every board and get the high score. But in the beginning, it was hard. Somebody had to put them on, like, yo, if you go this way and then that way and then that way and then that way and that way, you'll be able to do that and turn the game around. And some people actually did it. So they be inside the Chinese store, and you know what I mean? You can't get them off the Pac-Man. They only had one quarter, but they've been on the shit for half an hour. Meanwhile, you put your quarter in there, you done already spent $1.50 and shit, and you barely got up to the screen where the peaches are. Because remember, first it was the cherries, then I think it was the strawberry, and then it was the peach. You by the time you got to the peach, or was it an orange? Whatever. You wasn't getting too far. But somebody put you on, or you figured it out on your own, and you got better. And the better you got at it, the more confidence you had. So when you think about misery, normally we are in a miserable state because we are lost. We don't know how to do something that we really feel like we need to know how to do. And it's making us feel alone and inadequate and isolated. And, you know, some of us deal with it by secluding ourselves, isolating ourselves, being by ourselves, just trying to figure it out. It's not always a good idea to do that because you may be isolating yourself without figuring out how to make yourself do any better or feel any better, and that can lead to you feeling worse because you're waiting to miraculously just start feeling better. Some people stay by themselves and they pray, oh God, please help me, oh God, please help me, oh God, deliver me from this misery, God, deliver from this misery, God deliver me from this misery, a better life, yo, it's got to be a God deliver me from this misery, come on, man, it's got to be something better out there for the God that's real, come on, so I want to sit back, relax, and chill, I'll stop drinking, and I'll stop smoking, and I'll stop doing the dungeon, I'll stop joking, I'll stop talking about your mama and everybody in your fam, I'm trying to be a better man, I am, and damn, I'm just tired of feeling sad, y'all. I want to be a better dad, y'all. My baby mom be stripping the wallet. I'm trying to do something else out here. I ain't trying to be solid. I stop dressing. I stop just flashing dope. Stop wearing jewelry. Stop wearing crazy clothes. I stop doing all that shit I used to do. And I don't even roll with my crew. What else I got to do in order to make this brain stop feeling like it's in a vice? I just want to get nice, yo. And I don't need no drugs or hanging around thugs. And I ain't got to be around with no silly ass bugs out. Shit, that's all I want to be on my dick and take all my money. Shit ain't funny. Shit is real out here, son. You know what I'm talking about. Yo, I'm trying to, yo, break the fuck out. I'm trying to route. I ain't trying to be feeling bad. I ain't trying to put this fucking gun to my dome. I ain't trying to do that shit. I ain't trying to go home. No home going for me. Not right now, but damn, I'll be sad as fuck, and I ain't getting out of this shit, not by luck, and your word to the mom, your word to the sis, your word to that shit, your word to the dick, yo, yo, deliver me, yo, God, from misery, I yo, deliver me from this misery, I yo, deliver me from this misery, yo, son, shit is real out here, son, shit is real out here, man, you know what I'm saying? He said, why me? And fell to the bed. Reached for the 9 and put it to my head. And thought about the words that she once said. Shane, you know that you're my one and only. But she ran with another man and left me lonely. Well, when people are really miserable, it's not because it's not, well, man, hold on. Let me scale it back. Let me chill. I was about to say, it's not because people have left them for somebody else, but it could be that. The thing is, recognizing the part that you played in somebody getting ghost on you. And yeah, often you did play a part in that. And I know that ain't an easy thing to admit, order in the court. I know it ain't easy to admit that shit. You know what I mean? No, don't nobody ever want to be the problem, especially when somebody, you know, just broke out on their ass. You don't want to admit that you had anything to do with that. But just like we were just talking about mistakes. We make mistakes in life. We make mistakes in friendship. We make mistakes in relationships. We make mistakes in spousal spousal situations and marriages and shit. We make mistakes. We make mistakes at work, you know, and sometimes we have to suffer the consequences because of those mistakes. And all mistakes aren't on the same level, but they can find us in misery. And sometimes that misery likes company, but the company that they are inviting are the company that is going to make them be in further isolation. So you have fucked up somebody else's day because you had a fucked up day, but that day made you have to spend the day all by yourself. God damn you. Your shit is fucked up. What a guan. Wapum. Shit's real out here, son. It is. You know, it sounds like I'm playing around with this shit, but I'm really not. I'm really not. You know, like, when I thought about this topic and thinking about how misery loves seclusion, I thought about people that I knew. I thought about people that I know online right now. You know, sometimes you can't get in touch with people online. Since we online, and most of y'all I've met online, how about this one? Is it just me? Or does everybody have somebody on their friends list that always deactivates their account? They'd be like, oh, I need to get off Facebook for a while. They'll come in, peeping. They'll peek in for like 2 days or so. Be like, oh, I'm out again. You're like, God damn. They literally playing peekaboo with social media. And you wonder to yourself, like, what is it? What are you seeing online that makes you want to act that way? Because in your real life, you can't be in and out like that. But what is it about your social media experience that is affecting you to the point where you feel like, I can't do this shit consistently? But I see people, I know people that deactivate their account constantly. They be in, they be out, they be in, they be out, they be in, they be out. I've never deactivated my account. Now, don't get me wrong. Y'all know I've been in Facebook jail a few times, shit, you know what I mean? But I ain't do this shit. You know what I'm saying? I need a good Facebook lawyer. Because I'm tired of these trumped up charges. I'm tired of these trumped up charges. Do you underdig? Do you know what I'm saying? Actual fact. So, yeah, it's a tough situation. Hold on. Let me see what y'all talking about. Okay. All right, hold on. Okay. Don't add all the music you want. That should be a good shot. Sure shot. Cherry says, everybody has a vice or some type of addiction. Mine was love. It can make you happy or miserable. You think that love can be an addiction? I know we talk like that, but I consider that to be more metaphor than anything else. Carol Chamberlain says, just bought a tabletop version for my grandson. He loves it now that he's got the hang of it. Oh, you talking about Pac-Man? Speedy and Clyde. Yeah. But Speedy and Pinky were the fastest ones. Clyde was the green one. He wasn't fast. Robbie Ming says, I just came on to participate in the show for a while, but I have some very serious business to tend to. My mind isn't really focused on the show. I'm not miserable. I am angry. Okay. FYI, misery, anger can be misery too. as far as I'm concerned, misery is anything that makes you unhappy or that blocks your access consistently blocks your access to being comfortable or feeling safe or feeling happy, content. So good luck, Robbie Rob. You know what I mean? Holler at me if you need me and do your thing. Oh, shit. Someone's messing with your great grandbaby. Oh, shit. Stacey Vet White says, I will block him in a minute.
Okay.
Oh, okay. TK Wright says, oh my God, yes, you must be talking about when I was asking, do you have some people who deactivate their account all the time? Yo, I have a few people like that. I have a family member that gets too stressed out by the political arguments, negative comments about women or twerking teenager. So the star says, Facebook felon word. Shit is rad, Cherry says. Yes, at Tone Stark. No, it's still. Yes, 30, 70, 60, 40, never 50, 50. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think of how to approach this. Because it's different for me. I have never gone online and felt like I needed to stay offline. But then again, like I said, I don't go down my news feed very far. If anything, I'll hang out on my own page or go to my groups. That's my salvation. Right? I ain't got to deal with the rest of the world. It's just like where I live. I ain't got to be out on the corner with them niggas. I wasn't out there on the corner when I was young. Why would I do it now? See y'all when I see y'all. Just respect mine. I mean, because when you really think about it, your news feed is only full of people that you chose to be on your friends list. You either accepted them or requested them. And like I told y'all, I get deleted every day. Matter of fact, where am I today? Let me see. Sometimes those deletes, people be deleting me in bunches. And this is it's the beginning of the year. People always get me off of their friends list, you know, for the new year. Like, all right, oh, that did it. That fucking did it. 4,996. I've seen this shit drop all the way down to 460s and the 470, 900 and whatever. But it happened. You know, but I don't know. I guess I just don't get into certain frivolities. I guess it doesn't. It's like whatever, you know what I'm saying? Now, if I interact with you on a regular basis, like somebody like Carol delete me all of a sudden, that's going to catch my attention. Like, what the fuck? Mama told me one day it was going to happen, but she never told me when. Oh, baby. She told me it would happen when I was much older, which it would have happened then. Other than that, I'd be like, man, fuck y'all, Nick. What you do when somebody deletes you, you go to their page and you block them. Like now. So just in case you've been coming around my page, just trying to sneak a little peek, see what public posts I done put up and shit so you can hate. Nah. It's Pretty Petty Tuesday, right? All right, then. GK Wright says, Omar, you have to sing the numbers in Cherry Cherry's comment. Oh. Oh, 30, 70, 60, 40. But I don't remember him saying 30, 70. Did we say that? We talking about Teddy Pendergrass, right?
It feels so good fucking a hottie and busting nut on her back. And that's a fact. It feels so.
Mm. 70-30, you do say that? Okay. You knew what it was. You knew what it was supposed to say. I really didn't. I didn't know. I didn't. Although I like that song. It's a good song. Yeah, man, but you know, Misery Love, listen. Sometimes people are miserable and they're really crying out for help. Sometimes they're really crying out for help and they don't know how to ask for help. Their ego gets in the way. Sometimes they have deep-seated feelings of guilt. They know that they fucked up. They know that they've done wrong. And you know, they may also have this manipulative nature about them. So even though they know that they've done wrong, they don't want to admit wrong, because then they feel like that they would have to pay restitution and they would have to deal with things that are not on their own terms. And they have become so spoiled that they have become so used to having things done on their own terms that they can't imagine living a life where they have to actually compromise or submit. And then there's the other thing. You know, some people who are miserable work a lot. They work constantly. They work over and over. They stay at work. They doing overtime. They got different streams of income. But here's the thing, yo, they ain't got no friends, no real friends. They ain't got no friends, but they got a lot of ends. And here's some of the reasons why they may work a lot, or why they may make sure that they try to stay financially well off. They may work a lot because being home and being isolated makes them feel worse and worse. It makes them have to actually deal with the root cause of them being miserable, because they may recognize that they played a part in it. The other thing about it is they may work a lot so they don't have to be alone, because they may really like to be around other people, but they're just not good around other people. They want to be around a team, or maybe even on a team, but they have not the ability to be a team player. And another thing is, they may try to make sure that they are financially well off, because that gives them a way to attract other people to them. If nobody will come around you, opportunistic, greedy, leeching motherfuckers will come around you, and they will play on your ego. Oh yeah, you the best. Are you best? Oh, you're so large. Oh yeah, you the best. You the best. Can't nobody do it better. Yeah, I love you. Come get a little closer to me. Oh, come on, boo. Come on. You know I love you to death, yo. I like to hear you in my ear with your breath. Yo, give me a couple of dollars. Let's go out to dinner. Let's do a little something. I love you. Listen, if motherfuckers may not want to hang around you, but motherfuckers will always come through to take your money away from you. And some miserable people know this shit. So even though they know that it's a fucked up thing for people to just be using you for your dollars, they also recognize that that's all they have going for them at that time. And that misery is something that they wind up having to actually financially pay for. but they got a bunch of money. They got a bunch of money, though. DK writes that sometimes people are miserable and seclude themselves for attention. If they know that if they know that people care for them, care about them, they'll do that shit. It's to maintain control. No, Narcil, that wasn't a freestyle. Teddy actually sang that. That was on the version that Philadelphia International cut out. I heard him sing it live. He said, it feels so good boning a hottie and busting that up on her back. And that's a fact. Y'all mad because y'all didn't get the unreleased versions of certain songs? That ain't got nothing to do with me. When you start, you know, being down with promoters like I am, you know what I mean? Then you'll get these unreleased copies and shit. You know what I'm saying? You know, get some imports. Okay. Yeah, right. Tell my thumb. I'm dancing to it too. So. What? I wonder if you can. Yeah. But you got to get it on. On the low tube. It feels so good boning a hottie and busting that up on her back. And that's a fact. It feels so nice hitting the city, rubbing her head and her crack. You know, when you're chilling with a young John and, you know, talking stupid shit about the beef between Jay-Z and Nas and who's better between Nicki Minaj and Lil' Kim, sometimes you gotta just let your carnal desires come out and swing a little ass around, pull a thong to the side and be a B.I. Sometimes it's the only way to shut them up. But, listen, we talk about misery. We would talk about misery and how it likes seclusion. Listen, I'm just putting y'all into how the song goes. Chilling with Young John. You know what I mean? And you're wasting all your money on weed and Dutch masters. You know, having conversations about which papers are better. Dutch masters are Optimals, Leaf, or papers. You know, you just have to revel in the love that the two of you have for each other and the desire. And, you know what I mean? You know, just tell her, like, next time you talk to me, make sure that you don't have no bra on.
All right.
Okay.
So, yeah. But having money
is a good way to attract people to you. But it's also a good way to throw your misery upon other people, because you know that they want their intentions are to try to use you for your money or your stuff, whatever stuff that you have that they actually want or want to get from you, but they have to go through you in order to get it. So they have to do your bidding or listen to or put up with your shit while they trying to get your shit from you. Like, yeah, I'm rich, but I am a real asshole. And I'm sad. I've dealt with a whole lifetime of misery, but I be getting this cash. And sometimes miserable people will often let you know how much they value material possessions because they know that's the only value that they feel like they have in the first place. Don't nobody like me. That's how they feel, many of them. That's how many of them feel. Don't nobody like me, but at least I got this money. So I'm alone in this world, mentally and emotionally. I'm all by myself. But she ain't getting this $40 unless she listen to what the fuck I got to say. It'd be like, bitch, you gonna give me my way. You gonna take this ass whooping and listen what I gotta say. All right. We about to get on about it here. Do these birthday shout outs. And I'm gonna let you good people, you know, get on with the rest of y'all night. I know. No. This conversation not going left, Carol. This all fit into the narrative of what we were talking about tonight. The whole thing. I designed it to go this way. I did it while I was miserable. Narzil says, being a respected asshole goes only so far. It goes as far as that cash will take you. You know what some people will do?
I can search the web for that.
Do you know what some people will do just to get a couple of dollars from you if they think that you have like some real deep pockets? It's amazing. I'm sure you know. You probably seen people try to milk people for just a little bit of money. And you're like, yo, you got to get your priorities straight. That wasn't even no lot of money. Fuck is wrong with you? Yeah, Norris, I know he a dickhead, but he paid. What, because he got a high car note and mortgage? He ain't paid. He got more than you. And he be, that nigga be breaking bread. Yeah, but you said he a dickhead too. Yeah, well, if you won't be a dickhead, at least you breaking bread. If you won't be a dickhead, yeah. At least you breaking bread if you gonna be a dickhead. Yeah, at least you breaking bread if you gonna be a dickhead. At least you breaking bread if you gonna be a dickhead. At least you are breaking bread, you gonna be a dickhead. At least you are breaking bread and you gonna be a dickhead. At least you are breaking bread and you gonna be a dickhead. At least you are breaking bread and you a dickhead, but at least you breaking some bread and you give me a couple of dollars. Don't send me home with lead. All up in my ass, you came in, you came fast, but yo, everything is going to be all right. We last, yo. Dollars keep coming, you counting them all. I know in about an hour, shit will be soft, and I ain't got to worry about nothing for the rest of the day. I'll be back tomorrow, yo. Make sure you got my pack. We're going to be a dickhead, yo. Break bread, nigga, break bread. I said, if you are going to be a dickhead, yo, break bread. If you are gonna be a dickhead, just make sure that you're breaking bread. A lot of dickheads break bread to give enough to dough. Your shit. That's how the wages of the world go. And the shit is real, yo. This is quite a show, but yeah, you a dickhead, you know. But you a dickhead breaking bread, breaking dickhead breaking bread, breaking dickhead breaking bread, breaking dickhead. Yeah. You heard what I said? Yeah. Let's do these birthday shout-outs, yo. Hey, yo, let's do these birthday shout-outs to my body. Hey, yo, we have some birthday. Hold on. Chill. Hey, yo, word mother, rev. All right, what we doing? All right.
I say, we have some birthday shout outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious January 12th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special, because they are special, because they are special. They get the R E S P E C C. They are S P E C I A L. They get the R E S P E C C. They are S P E C I A L. They get the R E S P E C C. They are S P E C I A L. R E S P E C C. They get number one out the box. Lights bright. Turning 53 years old today. Do your thing, mom. And my girl. Going all the way back to the 1990s. Lynette Regina. Oh, Gina. But her name is Lynette. Turning 55 years old today. I never knew she was 5 years older than me back in the day. You know what I'm saying? We used to work at the Federal Reserve Bank together, but she worked for this insurance company named Kemper. Kemper. And she worked on the same floor as us. And my man used to be in love with Lynette. That was an interesting story. But I didn't know she was 25 when I was 20. Who knew? Do the damn thing, Lynette. And Tia Jasmine turned 36 years old today. And Hannah Batia Ya. Happy birthday to you, Hannah Batia Ya. And she's raising money for No Kid Hungry. That's what's up. And Eric Spears, my man Eric Spears, turning 48 years old today. And my girl going all the way back to the 1986, Celestine Bunny Ray, affectionately known to all her friends as Bunny. Her name is Celeste. And we had job search class together. And she's turning 51 years old today. Do the damn thing, Celeste. And also, last but not least, my man James Daly III of Comic Energy, The little skit group. What do you call it? Comedy skit. Sketch comedy. True. We used to work together all the time. You know what I'm saying? That's my man. I want to say happy birthday to all of you. And anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious. January 12th. Anywhere out there in the world. Worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen to this thing. Misery loves seclusion. And misery loves seclusion because seclusion gives them a way out. And having a way out is what you need sometimes. But sometimes you only look for a way out so you can find another way back in. And your misery will have you going out and in and out, in and out, out and in and out, in and out, out, out and in and out, in and out, out. To the point where your mom be like, look, you either in or you out. Be like, mom, is that your way of calling me a dick? Chill. You know, even though I play around with a lot of these concepts, I mean, it's serious shit when you are in a miserable state, when you're in that dark place, when you are in that space where you absolutely want no part of but can't find your way up out of. No matter what. And being miserable today is a lot easier for a lot of people. I mean, becoming miserable is easier for a lot of people. You know, this pandemic going on, people have lost people. People are dealing with seeing people who are sick and hurt. The political climate is all off the chain. People choosing sides. It's like we're linking up and we're separating at the same time. There's a lot going on right now that we have to consider.
Monica, Queen Monica, I didn't see you. I mean, good to see me, so you. That's what's up. But yeah, there's a lot going on. And sometimes, based on what we are trained to be able to deal with, some of these things we can handle pretty well, or some of these things get way too heavy for us. But hang on in there. That's what I encourage you to do. Hang on in there, because it's going to be all right. The worm will turn, baby. The worm going to turn, baby, and you go ahead and turn with it. And when it's your turn, you're going to get it, all right? So peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all back to life. I don't want to see none of y'all miserable. I don't want to see none of y'all sad. I don't want to see none of y'all hurt. I don't want to see none of y'all in any other space other than the space that makes you feel good about yourself, good about life, good about your future, good about earlier today, good about right now, and good about later on in the night. Speaking about later on tonight, I'm going to speak to y'all later on tomorrow night. It'll be hump day, but we got through this pretty petty Tuesday. And if the good Lord allows us, blesses us enough to be able to wake up tomorrow morning, it's going to be your bride gig. You know it's going to be your bride thing. It won't. Let me get a blog talk on up out of here. I'm going to holler back at y'all. You know what I'm saying? All right, peace, blog talk.